time to break down the tape.
Big
Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
We have tickets to give away for the Smoketoberfest on Thursday. We'll give those away at some time during the show today, Jeremy and I. But right now, Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us. Ken, good morning to you.
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Oh, mic's not on. Hey, you there now?
His mic sounds nice. Check one.
You there now, Ken? There we go. Ken, I don't want to be the guy that talks about him all the time, but I don't want to be the guy that takes him for granted either. Lamar Jackson is beginning to make the spectacular look normal, if you understand what I mean by that. The things that are that used to be, oh my goodness, are like he does all the time now.
We're very spoiled already, and the things we expect out of him as a passer are going up now, but that's in progress. The things we expect him out of him as a runner,
yeah,
we already do take those for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the 15% commission on rushing yards for the rest of the team, we take that for granted. You know, it is amazing that.
Well, Ken, just looking at some of the other things too, and to the point where the Ravens almost always face the next Jaden Daniels,
yes,
or the next Lamar Jackson. Jaden Daniels just happened to be it this week. I even heard somebody say that the quarterback at Alabama is a better version of Lamar throwing the football. And it's like, these guys haven't even got to the league yet, but people keep getting compared to him.
That's Jalen Milroe, is it?
Yes, Jalen Milroe. Let me get your thoughts on that, first off, the comparisons that they get. And what did you think of Jaden Daniels and just watching him on film?
So, Jaden Daniels looks the part. He looks like a spectacular young quarterback, but the Ravens do frequently face that. But they faced the next to Lamar Jackson probably 3 to 4 times in Jackson's tenure here. It is a rarer, you know, archetype. But the guy they face all the time is the next Justin Tucker. There've been 25 in the league since he's been in the league, I'd say.
Well, they just did it the previous 2 weeks, whether it's Aubrey in Detroit, in Dallas, or if you want to go back and look at Cincinnati, and everybody was calling their kicker the next Justin Tucker.
Yeah, we have Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we talk so much about offensive identity for the Baltimore Ravens, and I know you wrote about that. And I'm more willing to say what we saw on Sunday is more of what I think the Ravens' identity is.
It's the way it can be most valuable, because they're winning a lot of different ways. Whatever the Commanders gave them, they took.
That's what I'm talking about.
When they played man coverage, you know, Flowers beat them. They busted coverages. They beat them that way with the tight ends. They lightened up in the box, and Henry beat them. So they had multiple ways.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, I mean, we talked about Zay Flowers and the success, but it was nice to see Bateman getting involved as well. What did you think about the other receivers in yesterday or Sunday's game?
Yeah, very big deal. Bateman, you know, really needed some big games like that. He's quietly having a really good year, by the way. It's not a super high target year, but he's averaging 10.5 yards per target. Anything over 10 is fantastic, by the way. The Ravens have only had a handful of years, individual years in their history, that have reached 10, and the record for a single season is 11.04 by Andrews in his rookie year. So year over 10, you're doing fantastic. So he's played well. Obviously, people are making the most of their opportunities, I'll just say. Likely he's done well with the opportunities he's gotten. Andrews was good this week, and you know, we also saw Kolar take advantage of his shots the last couple of weeks. So it's been, whoever's been getting the football has been making a doing well with it, and that comes down to number 8 again.
Ken McCusick joining us from StudyBaltimore.com. Ken, you talked about number 8, but this team has a way of, I don't know the last time the Ravens have faced a hot team and not taking care of business against them. We saw it with the Lions last year. We saw it with the 49ers several times.
Yep.
Earlier this year, we saw it with the Bills. It just seems like every time they face, with the exception of maybe the Chiefs, it seems like every time they face that hot team, not only do they beat them, they dominate them.
Yeah, so last year they faced, the playoffs aside, when they
Rams a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they and the Seahawks was last year. Miami was last year. They destroyed last year they were 5-0 against teams with all of them by 2 touchdowns when those teams were 3 or more games over 500, and they set the all-time record for most wins against winning teams in a season. So, yeah, they've beaten everybody except for the Chiefs that they need to.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, we were talking about defense and some of the changes you saw. Ardarius Washington, a little bit of him. What'd you think of that swap?
You know, very big and kind of under the cover move, because I think they're trying to maybe hide it a little bit with some playing time still out there for Jackson. So Jackson has been a little bit of a disappointment at strong safety, playing a split field role. He's an ex-free safety. I thought, you know, a limited role, maybe he'd be good. But it was a dangerous signing. He's a guy who's an older player, had four straight years where he's had a total of 10 yards per target. We talked about how good that was for Bateman. Obviously, it's bad if you're a defensive back giving up 10 yards a target. So anyway, they've obviously been somewhat frustrated with his play. Ardarius Washington in the second half went in to be the strong safety in dime situations. Now, dime situations, six defensive backs, are the higher leverage passing situations. So you typically are doing that on third down, third and medium and long, you know, sub second and long and whatnot. But anyway, the point being that Jackson was left in big nickel situations, which tend to come up on first down. You have Kyle Hamilton covering a slot, often a tight end, but it could be a big slot receiver. It's the lesser set of responsibilities that he kept, and they gave Ardarius Washington the good set. Then Ardarius got to a football. He dropped it. That has been the Ravens' big problem this year on defense. If you're looking for a problem for the Ravens, they're not converting turnovers. They've got three interceptions, on 29 passes defensed. So that's an unbelievably bad ratio. Normally you get about one every five and a half, and they're at almost one every 10. And that's really what's holding this team back more than anything in terms of their defense.
Is that, I mean, guys that would normally you expect to convert those, or is it because of a change in personnel?
Team is full of playmakers. I Marcus Williams is a guy who's converted a lot in his career. Right. He hasn't been near the football this year. Roquan Smith converted one. He's certainly one of the guys. Hamilton has not had one yet. He's one of the guys. We had Wiggins drop two. He's one of the guys. You know, it's been a variety of players. Humphrey had one, and I think dropped two, or had him knocked loose. So it's been a tough year.
Ken, and you pointed this out. We talked during the break. Kyle Hamilton better recently than he was earlier in the year. Roquan Smith, haven't seen that from him. These guys weren't having career years. Is that scheme, or is that them?
I think maybe it's a little bit of both, but there are some scheme issues and there's some personnel issues. Let's start with Roquan. He's been asked to do more in terms of coverage probably than normal. And part of that is the fact that the coverage around him, the shell around him, is pretty good. Uh-huh. The exception is at safety directly behind him. And so where the Ravens have been attacked a lot is between level two and level three. If you look at PFF and some other services for targets, they'll usually charge those targets between level two and three to the linebacker and not to the safety. So you might get an inflated idea of how many times Roquan's been targeted. But it certainly hasn't been a good year from that. There has been some suggestion that he's carrying more weight. He definitely looks heavier this year, and that may be hurting him in coverage. I think he played the run very well 2 weeks ago against the Bills.
Is that by design, carrying more weight?
Probably. Okay. I mean, you know, normally if you're a football player, you carry as much weight as you can and still be athletic. So probably by design.
Well, let me ask you about the backfield. Goodfellas here, Henry Hill. Didn't see a lot of Hill this week. Your thoughts on that? And also, I don't know how much better Henry can get if, like, as the season goes on, are you worried at all about carries or anything that they need to spell him a little bit more?
Yeah, I think he's probably carrying the ball too much right now. I mean, hopefully Keaton Mitchell comes back at some point. At some point, injuries will occur, whether it's to Henry or Hill, and they'll have to give Ali some carries, or they'll have to give Mitchell some carries if he's back. But so far, RB3 has had zero total snaps played for the Ravens, in six games, which is incredible to me. But the Ravens are really doing it on the ground here. The big stat that I've been touting this week is they've had four games this year already where they had at least 175 yards and they gave up fewer than 75. And the team record for a single year is six such games. 73 Rams, who went 12-2, the 2001 Steelers, who went 13-3, and the 2019 Ravens, who went 14-2. So that is some great company. And I think it's very likely the Ravens will get there, because anytime they win a game big, it's kind of a standard formula for them.
Ken McCusick joining us. Ken, I noticed this as well. Accountability is one of the things that I try as a coach. You know, what class you're in doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. If someone younger has something to say to you and is correct, You take it. You don't look at that person and say, hey, I've been around here for X amount of years. You take it. You saw the great culture with the Ravens when that took place with Kyle Van Noy and Simpson.
Yeah, so Kyle Van Noy got beat on a 24-yard pass by Eckler. He dropped from the line of scrimmage. He hasn't dropped too much this year, but he's got, you know, a couple thousand career snaps in coverage. And he was late getting over there, late diagnosing, looking in the backfield, whatever it was, brain fart, whatever it might have been. Anyway, ball went to Eckler, 24-yard gain, including 19 after the catch. He ran up to the tackle, and Simpson was immediately in his face about it. Of course, Simpson, a second-year player, 24 years old or whatever he is, and Van Noy's 34, and he's jawing at him real quickly, and Van Noy immediately put his hand on his shoulder and seemed to say, although it's just from his back, body language tells you everything, that he's accepting responsibility for that moment, and immediately Simpson shut up. And I'm thinking it was a great culture moment from two elements. First of all, Van Noy took responsibility immediately for it. Any kind of executive training you're in business, sports, it's very prevalent. I tell you, the easiest thing to do is say, look, it's my fault. Yeah. We'll fix it next time. And I think that's what happened. I think, you know, Simpson knew exactly when to shut up too. So it was perfect.
Yeah, he didn't beat a dead horse. He just stopped. Mm-hmm. He's a guy accepting responsibility, leading us and say, okay, all right, well, what do you want me to say now?
Why are you mad about him? His energy. He was just trying to bring good energy. I don't know if you heard the Nick Sirianni stuff, yelling at fans, and he was like, yeah, I'm just trying to bring energy. Like, what are you talking about? What about the offensive line? Any good, any bad from here?
Oh, some real good in this game. Look, I'll give you the short form. They only had two penalties. They're both false starts, so that's fine. Didn't allow a whole lot of pressure in the game. Stanley had a B. He allowed two pressures and two-thirds of a quarterback hit, a third of a sack. Had nine blocks in level two, so seeing Stanley be mobile is really nice. McCary an A, his second straight top-shelf game. He's not giving up the left guard spot anytime soon, so that's good. Linderbaum had kind of a tough game, C-. The big deduction was for that bad snap that hit off his foot. Mm-hmm. I treated it the same as a sack because that's what it was. It was a drive-ending play like that. The big news, Daniel Fa'alele, an A and a perfect game in pass protection.
Ooh.
No negative events as a pass blocker. He did have a couple pulls, which went bad and ended up in losses. But that's minor compared to a pass blocking success. So big game out of Daniel. Rosengarten, after two Bs, dropped to a D this week. He had a lot of trouble of basically latching on to his opponents in pass coverage. So blocking.
As you're watching Fa'alele, did you think this was more matchup, or do you see he's gradually getting better? Is it hard to recognize it over a couple weeks?
What's hard about Fa'alele is he's good at one thing every week, and it really jumps off the page. This week, he happened to be good at the most important thing, which is pass blocking. But the last, 3 weeks ago, he had a good game in level two, and a week after that, he was good at something else. And it's just it's something different every week. But if he ever puts all those elements together, he now looks like he could be a really good lineman, and I hope it happens.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we ask you this every week, man. What did you see on film you picked up on the Ravens you learned about this team moving forward?
Yeah, I really like the take what they've given component to it. So I go back to that.
I love it.
If I need to say one other thing about this, I really don't like the national media coming in and defining our regional rivalry because they say so many stupid things about it. The first is the Battle of the Beltway. We don't have one Beltway. We have one Beltway from hell over in D.C., and we have a Beltway that's perfectly okay here in Baltimore. It's the Battle of the Beltways. It's just all
the things it was. I hate it also. It's not. I was on a TV station in D.C. They were asking me about it. I'm like, it's not a rivalry. Yeah. It's not. It's a fun game for two fans, but it's not. We don't look at the Commanders as, to me, a rival is someone who you consider a threat.
Right.
And I'm not dismissing the organization. Three Super Bowl championships. I'm not dismissing them at all. But that's not a rivalry. You play them once every 4 years, and you never played them for anything significant.
Yeah. Does it benefit the Ravens in any way to have the Commanders be a good football team? That's my question for you two guys. Does it benefit them in any way?
I don't think it hurts them. A game like Sunday, you saw the ticket prices go up. Mm-hmm. I think now the fact that you have a Jaden Daniels, you work on the rest of that team. They need to figure out how to play defense here at some point. But they've got a shot within their division to make this run. And I think it sets up some healthy rivalries, even though you don't see them that often. But
Jeremy said it doesn't hurt. He's right about that. But it doesn't benefit either.
I think it has
no significance. What they do there has no significance to what we do here. It has none. It's zero significance. Do you? But it doesn't. We don't gain any advantages or disadvantages. It does nothing to us.
Okay. Well, I think there is some competition for fan base, and I hate to see that. And we see this happening with the Orioles, and obviously with revenue sharing, it's not the big deal. But with the Orioles and the Nationals, they literally have knocked out the DC team twice, and they keep coming back like a Bobo doll because Congress is threatening to do certain things. They put a team in DC again. It's just screw the Orioles market. I always feel like they're in about a 30 or 40 year death struggle with whoever they put there for this one market, and they are forced into a third rematch again to try and win this thing. I'm afraid the Orioles might lose it this time.
See, I think the Nationals took fans because they came to the market. I think the fan base is already established between the Ravens and the Commanders.
Okay.
I think those fan bases, if you're a Commanders fan, if your team loses, when they were bad and insignificant for all those years, you weren't coming up here to watch our football games. You were just in misery watching the 16, then 17 games that you were watching. I don't think we win you. I think if the Ravens go through a stretch, I don't see anybody in Baltimore saying, well, let me go check out the Commanders. I just don't see that. I have a friend, Lavelle, he went to see a Commanders game, and it was like kind of a joke. He got tickets for like $5. The Ravens were either had a bye. I think the Ravens had a bye week. So he was like, well, I got the tickets. Let me go down there. He wasn't interested in the Commanders. It was just kind of funny that he could get tickets for so cheap. And he's a football freak. Mm-hmm. So why not go? I don't see anybody jumping ship either way. It's just too established. Yeah. It's just too established.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I do think there are certain people that are like to be fans when it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll jump on the bandwagon when things start. Oh, there's a party going on there? They made it to the playoffs? I'm in. Who am I? What's this guy play? He's a tight end? What do they do? You know, like, I think you get a lot of that. But with football, I think a lot of fandom's just kind of drawn in the line.
Yeah.
You like who you like.
You like who you, because the season's so short. Not enough games this way. Baseball, you got a lot of games this way.
And let's be honest.
You don't have that in football.
We can sit here and beat up some teams for not winning a Super Bowl, but it's not like the Cowboys haven't had good seasons since then,
mm-hmm.
or any of these other teams that we're talking about. In baseball, it's tough being a fan of a bad baseball team because they're probably going to be bad for a long time.
Exactly. But you notice as soon as he went to not winning the Super Bowl, he went right to the Cowboys. You notice that? We're trained on this show to beat up Rashawn. Thank you very much, Ken McKusick. We'll see you again next Tuesday.
Okay.